Welcome back, everybody, to another fun-filled episode of the Destiny, We Are Dull Show, brought to you by Hoppy Head Productions. I'm your host, Sean Guardian Danny. What's up, man?
I'm just, you know, trying to live my little lowly peasant hunter life.
I'm just a lone ranger, killing random people on the moon and stuff.
I mean, we all can't afford to, you know, take our birthday off just to play a video game.
Don't you take your birthday off anyways.
But not just to play a video game.
That's your problem.
the last video game that came out on my birthday, I think, was like one of the Final Fantasy games. Like, not one of the good ones either.
Yeah.
I think it was like 13. And then like there was supposed to be another one that came out and then they postponed it after. So yeah. We all can't be lucky that our favorite video game developer gives us our favorite shitty game for a birthday.
Doesn't happen all the time.
No, it doesn't.
So I guess I got a little lucky, but this is the second year in a row that they've postponed it, which is irritating because then I have to like move vacations around.
So. I mean, isn't it a little bit easier when you're the guy that gets to schedule all the vacations?
Not necessarily.
I mean, at this point, can't you just embezzle vacations?
Maybe.
And he's like, sorry, man, that vacation's full. And then, like, put yourself in there. Or go up to somebody and say, hey, man, sorry, dude. Like, I know we approved your vacation, but something came up and we have to unapprove it. And then you just erase it, like, white out his name and put your name on there.
I'll have to look into that. I don't know if that's really a good thing, a nice thing to do, but.
I mean, you're managing me. You don't have to be nice. I mean, isn't that why you get promoted, is so you don't have to be nice to people below you?
Is that how it worked? I guess maybe I'm just doing it all wrong.
I mean, we already had a discussion about this. Like, you don't just hang out and, like, stare at your phone while the building's catching on fire because everything's, like, turned off or people aren't working. So you're already failing at that part of the job.
I'm just a terrible manager, I guess.
You should go back. If you want to work, you should go back to being an employee, Sean.
I'll remember that. Oh, Danny, what are you drinking for your during your Destiny break?
So, like, my wife, she's still funny. She was gonna go out and run some errands and stuff today. So I was like, hey, pick my beer for me. And I think I made a mistake in doing that because, she didn't know I went to La Bodega a couple days ago. I went to go get one beer.
Yeah.
And ended up getting, like, six beers. And those six beers cost, like, $130.
That'll happen.
Yeah, I was talking to my brother-in-law, and I was like, yeah, I bought six beers. Guess how much they cost? He's like, I don't know, like, $30. And I just said the thumb up, and he's like, 50? 60?
65.
Yeah.
Why are you
65 and
65.50? Why does every time you go up, it keeps getting small? The number keeps getting smaller.
Right. So he was like 100, and I'm like up, and he's like, wait, what? But so, you know, my wife.
It's a hobby, okay? I need my beer, and it's a hobby to get all these crazy barrel aged things.
Right, it's for the podcast.
Do you think I have this beer because I want to?
Right.
Because I drink this beer.
Right. Well, I need the beard so when I walk into breweries, I'm not an outcast. I fit in. It's like going to a sporting event and wearing the wrong team's jersey.
I don't care. I don't care about that. That doesn't bother me.
I know, because you've done it and been when I've been with you.
And then I tell all the Charger fans that the Packers have beat them the last four times, so maybe they should focus on winning.
That was still one of my, like, I still thought it was funny, because the guy looked back. I mean, he was cool, but he was like, dude, you're wearing the wrong jersey, and you're just wearing a t-shirt, so I'm guessing you must be a Raiders fan?
You're like, yes.
Yes, I am. But yeah, so she she told me I could just have the top shelf of beer. And so she's like looking, and I'm like, I was like, hey, don't forget the two doors in the and the two shelves in the door. And she looked, and she did like a cartoon, like jumping up and down, stomping her feet, like mad at me for like having so much beer in there.
Of course, I was gonna say, like, you're supposed to keep it to one shelf, and now you're at two shelves and a door.
No. I'm one shelf. The two things in the door, the shelves in the door, yeah. Like the top shelf of the fridge, the two shelves in the door, and then I have a couple cans on the fourth shelf. And then when I came back from La Bodega, it all couldn't fit on the top shelf, so I had like three or four random bottles on the second shelf too.
I can see why she's angry at you.
Yeah, I mean, she's not wrong in that. And so she's like, and our top shelf is bowing. I think it's gonna break.
Do you, when you go to Stater Brothers, do you look at some of the fridge food and go, we can't buy this, it won't fit in the fridge?
Pretty, yeah, it's like, dude, let's buy frozen stuff, and we can like just take it out one at a time when we need it. That's why we don't put our bottled water in the fridge.
I see that.
But
giving me that fucking so room temperature water, like I'm some kind of peasant.
Dude, I don't know, man. You need to follow our hydro homies, dude.
No.
Because they tell you how to drink the water. And the proper vessel to drink it out of.
It's, yeah. It's water, and we're not homies.
Well, I mean, it's better. They had to change the name.
Yeah, I know. It used to be a lot worse.
Yes. They got banned, and then they had to change the name. But, so she picked the biggest bottle in there for me to drink today.
Oh, wow.
So I'm drinking St. Bernardist ABT 12. It's a Belgian Abbey Ale, barrel-aged sour.
Nice.
So it's a 1 pint, so it's like 25, 26-ounce bottle of a 10% beer. So it says that it's the flagship beer of the brewery, and it's considered one of the best beers in the world. It's brewed according to the original recipe from 1946. This is brewed with that same recipe. After the brew, we let the beer rest in oak barrels for 3 years. This beer aging lets the beer go sour. In June 2019, we blended it with freshly brewed ABT-12 and bottled it in 75 centiliter bottles. Balanced in flavors, perfect as can be, heavenly nectar within your reach. Enjoy. So yeah, this was bottled in 2019. Doesn't have like a drink before date on it.
Gotcha. So did she just decide which bottle would make the most room in the fridge and pick that one?
Yes. That is literally what she did. She's like, that one seems to be taking up the most room and the heaviest. Pick that. And I'm like, oh yeah, it's a 10%. And she's like, so that won't get you drunk? I'm like, oh no, it'll get me very drunk.
That's the game we're playing today, huh?
Oh man.
It's like,
yeah, dude,
it's like when it's like when she's picking it, you're just like, I guess it's that one. Just like when I feel like when Mike reset the raid on the very last raid. Because he's a dick.
Well, he was going to reset. I mean, he was smart. He was going to reset another raid, and then you needed a person, and so you like asked him to jump in. And he's like, "Well, fuck that! I'm not resetting it if I'm playing it."
Right.
I don't want to be an asshole to myself.
Especially after we beat like the hardest part. God, that part is so fucking terrible. So, for those that don't know, I think the counter is called. Was it it's something like that. But basically, you have to beat her in six phases. And so every phase, you have to kill adds, surround her, pick up three crystals, jump on plates at the same time, and shoot each other with the beams to break her shield. And if you are on the plates too long, it kills you. And then you have to kill her. And then every two rounds of those, you actually have to go into a puzzle room where four of you have to jump on, again, plates that kill you and fix a picture. And you can't step on the same plate once, more than once. So you have to, like, rotate around and do and fix 3 pictures, then climb up and then, you know, get the crystals and redo that. Dude, it's literally the make or break part of Last Wish. Like, if you have a team that beats that very smoothly, then the rest of the raid, you have no problems.
And so Mike jumped in after the no problems part and decided that he didn't want to reset it.
Exactly.
I mean, he's not the smartest man in the world, but he's definitely not, you know, a complete idiot. Oh, and for my beer, I did find that they have a drink before date of June 2034.
You got time.
I got time. I'm good. I can just let this sit on my computer desk for another 14 years. Well, 13 and a half years. But yeah, it smells super sour, like almost like off-puttingly sour. Like you think it's going to be like strip the enamel off your teeth sour. But then you drink it and it's very like smooth and easy to drink. I would have almost been shocked if I didn't like it, considering I've heard other podcasts talk about this beer. This is like the entry level kind of sour, like that almost everybody's had. And I've seen it like around, but I think they started putting it in smaller bottles now because they're not monsters anymore.
Nice.
So what are you drinking, Sean?
I decided to be a casual and I'm just drinking like the bottom of the barrel stuff in my keyser because I'm trying to clean it out of old beer. But I'm drinking Funnel Cake from Forgotten Boardwalk here in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. New Jersey.
You bitch, yeah, you're drinking beer from New Jersey?
Exactly. So Funnel Cake is a cream ale with vanilla bean in it. So when you get it on can, it's CO2. But when you go to the brewery, you could actually have it on nitro. And, oh my god, that nitro is just amazing. Like, I don't know why it just makes it so much better.
Yeah, it's weird. There's some beers that, you know, like, putting it on nitro does make it better. But then there's also some people that think that you should never put a beer on nitro, that it does nothing. Like, they're like, I've never had a beer on nitro and thought, wow, I'm glad I've had this instead of the regular version.
I don't know. I just feel like things are just different. Nitro makes it different. So, I mean, I feel like I feel like some recipes are better than others on nitro.
Well, like, you would think, like, a cream ale.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily better on nitro, but it would add to the experience, because nitro just makes the beer itself, like, almost artificially creamy.
Yes. Exactly. And I think the vanilla just pops out with the cream ale. So, I mean, I really enjoy it on nitro. That's like usually like what I drink when I go to the brewery. It's just funnel cakes.
So now you know you need to just like if you can't get the beer, just go buy some funnel cake, actual funnel cake, and like
eat it.
Some vanilla extract and throw it in a blender.
Good. Good.
Yeah, just like start to brew beer and just make some wort. And just throw that in there and you're good, right?
I think it's close. Oh, man.
So I was listening to this podcast real quick on a side note. And the guy was talking to a mead maker.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that, like, if you brew beer, like making mead is easier.
It is. Mead is very easy to make. You just have to have a lot more patience.
Because he made it seem like it was just like set it and forget it. Well, yeah, I guess the patience part of, because you have to wait like 6 months before you can drink it.
Yeah, and I mean, it depends on, and I don't know that much about it. I know some commercial meaderies, maybe they just jack up the sugar content in it and serve it to you like within 3 months, 2 months. But one of the things I've read is that you're supposed to age it a month for every ABV. So, like, if you have a 13% mead, like, you know, that's technically supposed to be aged for a year. So, That's actually an interesting experience. I'll grab next. This is what I'll do next week on the show is I will grab some of the mead I brewed 2 years ago, and I'll open up a couple of bottles. We can try it out. I'll have to look at my recipe book and see when I brewed them. Because I have I have a blackberry, a raspberry, and then I have a cinnamon red pepper mead.
Oh, that's right. I remember you making the cinnamon red pepper one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he was saying he doesn't like cook his stuff. Basically, like he doesn't heat it up above a certain temperature. Like he basically just gets it warm enough to activate the yeast.
That's interesting. So the recipes that I have followed is that you heat it up to about 170, and then you stir in the honey. So I think the only thing I would say is the hot water probably gets the spreads the honey out a little bit better. Instead of just putting it in the cold, it probably takes longer to mix, maybe.
It's not necessarily cold, but it's not like you know, with beer, like how you have to like boil it super hot.
Yes. No, because you're not in mead, you're not trying to pull out the acids from the hops, so you don't need to boil it. And that's the whole point of boiling in the beer. One, it's to sanitize the wort, and then two, it's to when you're putting hops in at the beginning, you're really trying to just pull acid from there. That's not what you use to like add some flavor. I guess the acid does add certain flavors to it, but you're not getting the aroma or anything out of it.
Yeah, because that's what he was saying that. You know, when he was first kind of like his first couple batches of mead, he was like, oh man, my house smelled amazing with all the aromatics. And then he thought about it, he's like, wait, like the more I smell it, the less flavorful the mead's gonna be because it if I can smell it, that means the flavor is being pulled out of it.
That's interesting. That's an interesting theory.
So that's why he said that he doesn't heat up his mead that much anymore. Like he basically just heats it up as much as he needs to.
Yeah.
Pull out all the flavor, the acids and stuff.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, because I think like when I don't even think I kept it at 170 that long. It was like get it to 170, put the honey in, stir it, and then once it was well mixed, then it was cold crash time. Like it doesn't take that long to do. Although it is very sticky, which is kind of a pain in the ass. That's the only bad thing about it. It's more sticky than beer wort.
It has honey in it. That makes sense.
But yeah, you there's a couple different. So I think they started making more. What is it? Yeast for mead, but you could also use like champagne and wine yeast for it as well. So I think you could get a couple different experiences from there. I used to, when I was looking it up, I think when I brewed mine, I was using like a champagne yeast. No, I don't think I didn't order like a special mead yeast or anything, and it was always dry packets too. I haven't seen. I assume that some scientists and shops sell liquid yeast for meads and wines. I haven't seen it though.
Yeah, and I think the guy was saying that he used a champagne yeast or something like a derivative of the champagne yeast. Mm-hmm. So.
I mean it's pretty simple though. Like I mean hot water or water, stir in the honey, then get it down to pitching temperature if you heated it up, throw the yeast in, throw it in a bottle, and you just kind of forget about it. You could even add your fruits to like the primary fermenter. So you can't really do that in beer because you need the alcohol to kind of fight it, but for whatever reason, like with mead and honey and stuff, it just does not get contaminated very easily. So people wash and cut up fruit and put it into their in their primary fermenters when they're brewing mead. So it's kind of interesting how they are very similar techniques, but mead seems to be a lot more hardy against certain things.
Well, because honey is like literally the only edible thing that never expires. you know, because there's nothing in there for anything to grow. Like, the sugars kill it. There's no water. There's no oxygen.
Yeah.
So it's like it's once it starts going, once you introduce like water or air to it, that's when it starts going bad or whatever. But
yeah.
So it was a pretty interesting conversation listening to the podcast.
Nice.
Oh man, so Sean, I was at my local grocer perusing the aisles, purchasing things that don't go in the refrigerator. you have to buy, you know, when you have to buy like powdered milk.
That's not as far as it's gotten.
Yeah. It's like, powdered milk is disgusting. I guess I should get rid of some of the beer. I guess powdered milk it is.
powdered milk for another week.
Exactly. just sprinkle the powdered milk over the cereal and add the water in that way, and that's the best way to make your cereal.
Right.
Unless you're a monster, then you add the powdered milk and the water and then pour your cereal into that. Which way do you do that, Sean? Are you a monster that pours your milk first or your cereal first?
I pour cereal first.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I think all the people that pour milk first are pretty much in jail for being a serial killer. Or on their way to being in jail. I think that's a symptom of being a serial killer or a sign of it. But anyways, I was just glancing at the Oreos to see if they had anything interesting. I noticed that they had a flavor of Chips Ahoy that I hadn't tried before.
What kind did you get?
It's red velvet cake.
Ooh.
So it's the red velvet cookie with cream cheese chips in it instead of chocolate chip.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was like actually one of, I guess, the soft version of the Chips Ahoy, because sometimes you get the crunchy Chips Ahoy cookies. And I had one and I gave one to my wife, and we both had the same thoughts on it, that it was very good, but also very, very sweet.
Mm.
Like you can only eat like one or two of these. Like somehow double stuffed Oreos are less sweet than these. But yes, so it was, I mean, they're good, but if you see them, if you like red velvet cake, but just know that you probably can't eat very many of them, which I guess, or you can eat all of them and get the diabetes immediately. Oh man. And so, you know, everyone wants to kind of get back to like a lot of the normals, like going back to breweries. But one of the things people are missing, Sean, is live music. And so this story came out.
Are we though? Are we?
I am. I really am. Gotcha. I want to go back to concerts. And so, an article came out saying that Ticketmaster won't sell you tickets unless you, unless they know that you have gotten the vaccine for COVID-19.
Gotcha.
Right?
Interesting.
And so, I think Billboard magazine was the one that broke the story. And so, of course, you know, the internet people like jumped on it and were like, I can't do that. And so I waited a couple days, and people were like, after like the collective, you know, angry people like went away and the rest of the people could actually like read the article. They said that, well, Ticketmaster is exploring such an idea. It said there will be absolutely no requirement for mandated vaccines. So we are not forcing anyone to do anything, it said in the statement.
Mm-hmm.
And basically their thing is like, dude, we just sell the tickets. Like, that's the promoter's. If the promoter requires vaccines, we can't say anything about it. But like, we just sell the tickets. The people that throw like book the venues and the bands and all that stuff and then give us the information to sell the tickets, though, it's on them on how they're going to like let people in to concerts. But they said that was like, that came out of a meeting where they were just like spitballing a bunch of ideas about how to open up everything post COVID.
Mm, gotcha.
Right. And, you know, I'm sure you've been in a management meeting where you've heard a lot of like ideas, quote unquote, ideas to solve a problem. And most of them are just like, why the fuck are we wasting our time? This could have been an email.
Pretty much.
I'm
surprised more bands haven't done like online concerts. I mean, I know it's not the same thing, but, or is it just,
I know,
too
Foo Fighters
hard?
Just did yesterday.
Who did?
The Foo Fighters.
Mm.
They should change their name to the COVID Fighters. Then it would be all over.
How much did they charge?
I didn't see that one. I didn't know that they were actually throwing the event. I just saw that one of the beer Facebook groups that I'm on, it's like, hey, is anybody else watching the live stream and drinking beer like I am? We should have a beer together. Like, we're having a beer together and watching a concert together, like the good old days, basically, but virtually. But I know other bands have done that, and it's been pretty inexpensive. And what the other thing bands are doing is that they're doing concerts at drive-in theaters. You know, so that like people could just sit in their cars and they have like the access to the sound system or whatever. Oh, nice. So Sean, both the new Xbox and PlayStation 5s came out. And according to Jeremy from The Quartering, he posted a video that the Xbox launch was a failure. And then he also posted a video on how the PlayStation launch was a failure. Like, the day of the launch.
Got you. Is it because everybody that wanted one didn't get one?
Dude, you know what? Like, I've had conversations with friend of the show Man-Thing about Jeremy, and he was the one that was kind of gearing me towards his videos in the beginning, and now he's like, I don't think this guy does any research on anything, because, like, one of his videos about him complaining about how comics are getting political.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Man-Thing hadn't read a comic before necessarily. He's just going off of what Jeremy said. And I'm like, dude, comics have always been political. Like, that's almost like the whole point. That was almost like the whole point of comics. And I was telling about how, you know, the X-Men basically was the Martin Luther King and Malcolm X.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I sent him a bunch of strips from, like, the different panels from, like, throughout the years of, like, different them dealing with politics of the time. And he was like, oh. You know, it's like, yeah, if you just listen to Jeremy, like his fucking little sheeple do, they think that he knows all, and because he's obviously he's making these videos and none of them are under 10 minutes long.
But wow, they're all over 10 minutes?
Yes, because that was like the old YouTube monetization policy was if you wanted to make money, your videos have to be at least 10 minutes long.
Nice. Well, see, this is the problem. You have to make YouTube videos to even make, try to even make money. It's like, I want to win the lotto, but you gotta bet, you gotta play the lotto to win the lotto.
Right. I mean, I understand he does multiple videos a day, so that's his excuse, I guess, for doing literally zero research on any of his videos.
I'm just gonna randomly talk about topics that maybe I don't really necessarily know very well. Or I'm not right. Smart enough to see the underlining tones of it.
And he gets very Donald Trump about how, like, complaining about how games media and stuff is, like, they skew the story so that it's, like, fits their narrative. And I'm like, isn't that every single one of your videos there, bro? Except you're okay with it because it's your narrative, not somebody else's.
Yeah.
But he was talking about why he bought the Xbox over the PlayStation. Is because, like, literally at a minute into the video, he said, because he bought it because of Games Pass, because Assassin's Creed Valhalla was going to be available day one on Games Pass. And it's not, Sean. It's not an Xbox studio game. Only games made, like, by Xbox in-house developers. And I know they bought a shitload of developers, but they did not buy the developer that bought, you know, it's basically, it's like...
It's games Ubisoft, that are, isn't it?
Yes, it's Ubisoft. They didn't buy Ubisoft yet. It's like, if it's a game that you can buy on PlayStation, it's not going to be on Game Pass day one. But then the other thing, like...
it makes me, like, laugh that, like, I don't even have to do any research, and I probably could have told you it wasn't going to be on there.
Right, but we also... I was going to say, we also don't have a thing that people listen to get information from...
Hey, my parents learn a lot about video games on this show, okay? And anime, which they don't really approve of, but...
Yeah, it was just... I was going to say... As I was thinking that thought, I'm like, wait, we kind of do a thing? I mean, granted, not very many people listen to it, but some do.
And your one friend that hates Destiny, he's going to love this episode.
Right. Well, he'll know to, like... He can just, like... Listen to it on mute.
Yeah, just turn it off. Just turn it off. We're almost there.
Yeah. We'll let you know when the Destiny talk comes. We're getting there. But then, there was an article written, and Jeremy was making fun of it too, because this person was talking about how there was like so many holes on the top of the Xbox, and it was like creeping them out. And so, like, reading the comments, people were like doing that triggered sound, that ree! And it's like, again, do you understand why they said that they were triggered by the holes in the Xbox, or are you just fucking inconsiderate assholes that want to make fun of everybody because they have like different feelings or thoughts than you, right? So there's actually a legit fear, a phobia, trypophobia, where it's basically a fear of like holes or divots in things.
Interesting.
But I mean, it's like it's not like one or two. It's like when it's a lot of like, you know what I'm saying?
So the article is about somebody fearing the Xbox Series X because of all the holes on top, and he was making fun of them.
Of course he was. Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I had everything yeah. grouped together correctly.
Yes, and his people in the comments were making fun of them as well, thinking they were like just some triggered snowflake versus like. You know, it'd be like, you know, my wife is has arachnophobia, very, very afraid of spiders. And I was like scrolling on the internet one day, and I came across somebody posted a picture of a set of sheets that had a giant spider on like the bedspread and on each pillowcase. And it's like, it'd be like if I bought that and then made fun of her for not wanting to like go near the bed.
Yeah.
You know? Oh man! But then we've had some reports of issues. Right?
In the article, is it they want like the hole? They want the holes in the back so they don't see it.
I didn't necessarily read the article.
Okay.
I didn't do that much research. I came across it like in the chat with friend of the show Man Thing and Solid Snack, but they weren't necessarily making fun of it, but they were like. But yeah, it's just funny that it was a Kotaku article, mm-hmm. and so. But anyways, so of course you know, like with any launch of new technology, there's always going to be issues, and because everybody is like waiting for the other console to fail, so that they can say that we won.
Yeah.
You know, there's been a couple stories of the PlayStation 5 bricking itself. Like it has some sort of an error and it tries to reboot its system and it won't. And so that it's like, basically you can't, turn it on anymore. It's useless. It's useless.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one, and I think this was fake. I saw it on Reddit and Jeremy brought it up, talk about how like an Xbox caught on fire. Somebody posted a picture of their Xbox and there was smoke coming out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And people on Reddit were like, this looks pretty fake. It's like, I'm pretty sure this is just, like, vape smoke. I'm like, it's like, look at some of the stuff in the guy's room that's around the Xbox. Yeah, this guy vapes.
Yeah, there was I saw a tweet from Microsoft Studios saying, I can't believe we have to say this, but please don't blow vape smoke in your Xbox Series X.
So, yeah.
Is that going to be, like, a new warning? Like, when you open up your, like... You're like, yeah, you open up your new Xbox Series X and you go through, like, the warranty guide and it's like, you know, Article 30, Section C, please do not blow some, don't, blowing smoke in your Xbox Series X will avoid this warranty.
Right. But yeah, I don't know, I'm like, I know you said you were lucky enough to get a PlayStation 5 ordered.
Yep.
Or not lucky, depending on how, if it comes in working condition or not.
Yeah, so kind of tried to get the Xbox for shits and giggles. So I'll probably get that one later. But yeah, on PlayStation night, we were going at it pretty hard for...
Phrasing?
Like 30, yeah, phrasing. Like 30 minutes, like refreshing. Like I was like Target refresh, GameStop refresh, Amazon refresh. Like I was just like refresh, refresh, refresh. I was just like going spastic. And then my girlfriend was on the GameStop site refreshing as well. We went after one of the bundles thinking people might not go after it as much. And like after 20 minutes, it just magically appeared in my cart that I had it and I was able to check out. So I was super happy about that.
Nice. Yeah, I think I'm going to wait until after Christmas to get mine just because I'm not going to be on as much anyways, I don't think. And plus, I don't know. Is Destiny auto-upgraded to PlayStation 5?
I didn't read all parts of the article, but basically in December, that's when they're... I think you could play it, but all the enhancements don't update until December for it. Or you can't play. I don't know what it is. Like, I just know in December they're doing the upgrade for Destiny 2 for PlayStation 5 and Xbox One X and S. So I'll be interested to see what how that goes at the end of the day.
Right. So okay. So you know, it's not hurting me in waiting, I guess.
Yeah,
Spider-Man, yeah. 5 Miles Morales right away.
Yeah, exactly. Like, all I really want to do, I wanted to so I could get the updated version of Destiny. But really, at the end of the day, you know, this is more of waiting for stuff to come out next year. I think with like Horizon Zero Dawn 2. I think Cyberpunk will be another good one for this console because I think they made it for PS5 and Xbox Series X as well. So there's a couple games. But yeah, I mean, I did get Spider-Man, so I'll be able to play that. But I think just like the processing times is going to be a lot better right now. And I maybe that's just now because of all the older games are so much easier for it to handle. And I guess, you know, the question is going to be in a couple of years is, like, the same processor going to be able to process these bigger, more complex games down the road without major delay times.
Right.
So.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Yeah, so I saw, you know, a tweet Sony was trying to, like, fix an issue but made a worse issue. Because they wanted to, like, let people know that, no, like... The Miles Morales Spider-Man game is not just DLC for the Spider-Man game, right?
Correct.
And, I mean, I hope it's fake. Like, I really hope it's fake. I didn't do that much research because it's just, I don't want to find out that it was real either. But they tweeted out that the new Spider-Man Miles Morales game is a separate but equal game to the Spider-Man game. And people are like, wait. Should you say that about a black character in a game? A game with a black character that is separate but equal?
Just poor phrasing, man. It's just poor phrasing.
Right.
But yes, it is a separate game. So.
Yes. I mean, and I guess to be fair, like, people in Japan, like, haven't dealt... Like, they may not, like, remember all of the U.S. history. Like, we don't really know that much about Japanese history.
I think they're just over there like, could you guys stop being a bunch of racist assholes so we can say it's a separate game without people questioning, you know, our morals?
Yes.
And it's like, come on.
Oh, man. But, yeah, that was pretty funny. So, Sean... And everybody, well, this is the moment people, if you don't really care about Destiny, you can stop listening. And then she just like the sound of our voices, which we've probably lost even people who do care about Destiny at that point.
La 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 la. One less viewer.
There goes her parents. And they're listeners, not viewers, son. We haven't gone to YouTube yet.
True. So Beyond Light released this Tuesday, as we all kind of know and been talking about and getting ready for. And obviously with every new release, there's all sorts of different topics to kind of talk about. The good, the bad, the ugly. So I kind of have an order that we'll go in, and we're just going to jump off right into launch. So, Danny, I know you were at work when BL launched, but I'm sure you saw all the heartache about the issues with logging in and connecting to servers when they kicked the server back on.
Well, like, even, like, for the first couple days of me playing it, like, it didn't happen today, but there'd be points where I'd be, like, doing stuff in the game, and it's like, oh, you've lost connection to the server. Okay, you're back. And then, but it would put me, like, at the warp point, no matter what I was, and no matter, you know, no matter where I was or what I was doing, I'd just go back to the closest, like, warp point.
Yeah. No, I mean, I had that happen quite a bit. I think, so I had issues. It took me about an hour to get kind of logged in. And then even then, like, it would randomly, like, kick me out. And it would boot me all the way to the title screen. And then I would have to get back in the queue to get in. So, I mean, I guess the biggest thing is, and I get this isn't a repeat story, so I don't think anybody should be surprised that Destiny has major launch issues. So every, like, I wasn't there last year, but on previous ones, I've had issues with trying to get in and whatnot. So, I mean, it does happen. I think part of the problem is everybody gets so overly hyped, and everybody tries to play on launch day that I think it makes it a lot harder for Bungie to keep the servers up. Versus, like, normal time. So, like, I think what we see is a lot of the casual players get overly hyped, and then they jump on to try to play. And then you get people that haven't been on in, like, the last couple weeks that try to get on, and then you got your hardcore gamers that are trying to get on, and I think it just overburdens, I think, the system. Plus, I think, you know, they always do a major patch, and just trying to get the patch through and the update through and launching it, it just seems to be like a recipe for disaster. And I can't blame them for not trying to expand on the servers just for a 1 day, a 2 days. You know what I mean? With this amount of people in, when later on it's like, when later on it's just like, it just tapers off the amount of people that play.
It's like the gym at like the first couple weeks after New Year's, like,
correct.
Do you really expect them to, like, double the size of the gym for those, like, 2 weeks or 3 weeks? They're super busy after New Year's for the rest of the year, that, like, ghost town.
Yeah, and that's kind of, I think, the point that I think people need to realize is that that's how it's always going to be at launch. With the amount of people coming in, and if you want if you want dedicated servers and you want all these other stuff, then there needs to be more people playing consistently, not just the first 2 weeks.
Right, and, like, one of the things, like, Final Fantasy 14 did was whenever they have a new, whenever they're, like, the servers are overwhelmed, they actually make a queue, a virtual queue.
Yeah, that's what we saw, is we saw the virtual queue get popped up, and you got entered into the game in the same order you were doing.
Right, so, like, because I haven't faced it on Destiny, but, it, like, the screen would literally pop up. It's like, you know, you are this number in queue, and then it, like, it doesn't necessarily drop down by, like, one at a time, but, like, it'll be, like, jumps. It's like, oh, now you're this number in queue, or, like, at some point, they'll just let you in, you know?
Yeah. Fair enough. So, I mean, so we had issues with that. So we get into the story, and so we get a new ice planet or ice moon area to explore, Europa. And, man, Danny, it is beautiful. Outside of the snowstorms happening and you can't see sometimes, it's a really nice, fun place to play.
Yeah, I was on the planet with the where you had to go kill the guy that killed dude, I can't remember anybody. The Shattered Shore or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
I got it right. I pulled that out of my ass. So I was going some bounties on there this morning, and my wife came in the room, and she was like, first she thought there was bugs crawling on the wall, because I was kind of getting ready to go into a lost sector, so okay. There was like a cave in front of me. I was like, oh, no, they're not crawling up the wall, they're just like dark energy or something like that, just coming out of the cracks in the earth. And so I turned around and looked up so she could see them like floating up, and she was like, oh, that looks pretty cool. I'm like, yeah, that's one thing that Destiny does really well.
They make
planets look really awesome.
That is true. Even Earth being just reskinned from Destiny 1 to Destiny 2, the Cosmodrome, it does look nice. I mean, they definitely cut off parts of it, and it still has your main components of where to travel to. But, I really like the ice planet a lot. I mean, I thought it was really fun. So the story is the darkness is finally here, and we embrace the darkness. And we basically go through and we find out that there's a fallen Kel that has also embraced the darkness and is using the darkness to kind of eventually going to take down the Traveler. That is her main goal. So you have to go through and, you know, defeat her and her minions and whatnot. Pretty fun story. I think it questions a lot of, you know, light versus dark. You know, there's some people that overly embrace the dark. There's some people that are afraid of the dark, and there's people that say that you should neither light or dark is good or bad. It's just how you use it. So there's a lot of different conflicting messages in there with the different personnel, which I think adds depth to the Destiny story overall.
Right, because I've only finished the first chapter. Because when I hit the second chapter, my light level wasn't high enough, and then I just got like sidetracked into over leveling. Because you know, one of the guys that got me when I got back into playing when I bought the Xbox 360 that I work with, Mr. Chavo, like him, Man Thing, Solace Knack, and a couple other people, they all played Final Fantasy XI together, and he had the reputation of basically like bringing a tank to a knife fight, as far as like over leveling. And so, like, it's, like, the second quest story mission, it's, like, recommended light level is, like, 1100. And I'm, like, oh, I'm, like, a level 1120. I should go do it. I'm, like, is that high enough, though? So I'm, like, at level 1150, almost 1160, somewhere around there. And I'm, like, yeah, maybe I'll do it today.
That's funny, dude. It was, like, for me, it was, like, the story recommends 1120, and I'm, like, 1101. I think I'll be all right.
I mean, there are times where I do that too, but it's just like, for some reason, I was like, I think I'm just going to go ahead and gear up a little more. But then I also tried to do the Lost Sectors, and I was like shooting things, and it's like immune. And I'm like, dude, do I need to do something special in the Lost Sectors? And you're like, yeah, get good and level up higher because you need to be like 12 something. Like my bullets are just bouncing off of them.
You're just hitting them with marshmallows?
Yeah, pretty much. Not even that much, because it's like I'm like hitting with the air of the marshmallows as the marshmallows fly by them.
So there's some story missions that come after the main quest, and it really digs into the Destiny lore. And I don't want to spoil anything, but man, some just great story writing. And it really answers certain questions about the Stranger, the Exo Stranger, and Clovis Bay.
Does it explain the Stranger Danger?
It does not explain Stranger Danger.
Oh. Is the Stranger cause danger?
Maybe. But at least our Exo Stranger, you understand her. Maybe not the danger, but you understand her a little bit.
I mean, I'd be okay with some danger from her. It's like, did you ever watch Monty Python and the Quest for the Holy Grail?
I have.
The scene where he's like, he sees the beacon, and he goes in and it's like, we are but a group of 18 to 22 year old virgins. And he's like trying to get out, and they're like, oh, she left the beacon on, and it's like, she's been naughty, you must spank her. And she's like, yeah, spank me. And then another girl's like, and then me, and then me. And they all jump in, and then he's like resigns himself to being there, and another knight comes in to save him.
Yeah.
And the knight that saves him is like, "You were in peril," and he's like, "No, no, I was fine." He's like, "You were, the danger was great," and he's like, I can go back in and handle some more of that danger." Oh man, now I want to go watch that movie again.
It is a funny movie.
Camelot. No, let's not go there. It's far too silly a place. That was the movie that that was the first, like, one of the first movies that I got my wife to watch when we were dating, and when it ended, she just looked at me and goes, "So, wait, that's how it ends?" And I thought she was gonna break up with me because of the movie.
She too bad.
Oh man. So Destiny, Sean.
Yes. So we had some pretty cool supers get involved. When you do the story missions after the campaign, it looks like that you get additional perks for your stasis. So I was able to unlock two new grenade types, which I'm pretty excited about on my Titan. I'm worried that I'm going to have to go through and do the same on my Warlock and Hunter to get the same or different grenade types. So that part was kind of... was a little annoying if that's going to be the case, because it's just a lot of grinding to do those.
Right, well. I've seen a lot of posts pop up on the Destiny Reddit. You know, it seems like from the Destiny Reddit, it seems like the people that play Destiny like the game even less than a friend of the show, Solid Snack. From what, like, I've seen any positive posts about anything on this game.
Yeah,
like I saw one actually where somebody was saying that they thought it was like a cool idea that Destiny like put the exotics behind Lost Sectors now, like they put them in the Lost Sectors.
Yeah,
but a lot of it like was complaining about stuff, and so when the stasis powers came out for PvP and stuff, people were complaining about how they were overpowered, and then it was on, somebody replied with that meme of James Franco first time.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and this is my problem with people complaining, we're like 2 days in and they're like demanding changes from Bungie. I'm like, there's no change happening.
Right, and it's like, people are like, this is too grindy, and it's like, it's a fucking MMO-style game. Like, it's not Call of Duty, it's not, you know, and I understand that there's, like, casual people that kind of want everything. Things to be a little bit easier, but this isn't your game. Like, I'm sorry, but if, you know, like, if you want to play if you want to play a shooter, like a loot, because people are also talking about how this is, like, a looter-shooter game, and it's like, dude, this isn't Borderlands.
Yeah,
it's. I don't know.
I would agree though. I feel like sometimes that the subreddit gets way too toxic, and there, it seems like there's more people hating Destiny than actually playing it. And it's just like, dude, just fucking leave, man.
It's like if you're dating someone and the only time you had sex is hate sex or angry sex. it's like that's how they play Destiny. It's like they never have fun playing it. They're always just like super pissed off and angry playing it.
Yeah, next week we'll get the raid is too hard. I can't figure it out.
Right, I've wiped 3 times in this raid. Why can't I beat it?
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to. I think with my artifact, I'm like in the 35s now, 12-35 range. So I think I might start looking at trying to do the Lost Sector, trying to see if I can't get that sweet, sweet exotic piece.
Because that'd be like, fancy. It was like on the subreddit posted tips on how to solo the Lost Sectors.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what's the best way to run two different weapons. So to hold your champion breakers. I think I have the stasis grenade that does break one of them, but I mean, that's like, I mean, if you don't kill him, like, you're fucked. Like, he's just gonna, that's the problem with these champions, is if you don't kill them when they're down, when you down them, then their health responds. Yeah, and their health responds, and you're like, fucked, like, and a grenade takes like 40 seconds to recharge, so it's not like it's overly helpful.
Right.
So,
you know, I mean, the game shouldn't be, I mean, you don't want it to be like a Dark Souls or something like that where it's just frustratingly hard, but at the same time, you don't want them to just fucking like go up to somebody and it's like, oh, hey, cool. Like, I know you're supposed to do this Lost Sector to get an exotic, but you know what? You seem like a nice guy. You could just have it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the problem that I think I have is just what's the best... What is really going to be the best way to bring down two different type of champions when I usually only carry the arsenal for one? Like, in a Grandmaster Nightfall, there's only two types. So, you know, we look at one of them. One of the champion types is mostly in there, so we usually have two of us will run that equipment, and then the other one will run solo. But man, it's just kind of like interesting, like how this is gonna work. So
right, and that's something you also want too. Like with the new expansion, is your old strategy shouldn't always work.
Correct.
Reno, it's like, well, I always beat this thing doing this. And it's like, yeah, but that was the old this. This is the new thing. Figure out a new strategy. Like, you know, I don't know. It's just annoying to hear. Like, I don't have all the time to play either, but... And, there was one mission I tried to do, and I died, like, 10 times. And I'm like, okay, I'm doing something wrong. And then I read it, and it's like, it's almost impossible to solo. And I'm like, okay, that's what I'm doing wrong. I don't have friends.
Yeah.
But yeah, like somebody posted the thing. It's talking about getting. I know it's on. I'm probably jumping ahead and throwing off your fancy list. but one of the things that you were talking about, how like we were talking earlier, how it had a low drop rate.
Yes.
Somebody was saying that like Bungie needs to fix it so that solo players can get them easier, and it's like, no, that's a group activity. Fuck you.
I mean, I don't even know, like, yeah, I mean, I don't even know which, because the prime engrams just drop randomly. It's not tied to anything. So, I mean, the only thing, I don't know what else, and everything you could do, basically, is, most of it's all, like, complete bounties and just play three matches, and then you get all the powerful and pinnacle gear. So it's not like you need to necessarily have a team. Now, maybe with the Nightfall, you have to have a team, but that's, you're not going to take that away. I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
Right. And it's, you know, that kind of same thing happened, you know, going back to Final Fantasy 14, where people were like wanting to do things solo. And it's like, dude, this is, it's an MMO, like make friends. That's the whole point. Like, you don't have to do, you know, and if you don't want to make friends, then you don't have to do everything.
Yeah.
It's, you know.
True.
I don't know. It's just this thing, like, both in MMOs, like, it seems like people are like, why does that person have something I don't have?
That's a good question. Because they're better than you.
Well, yeah, and it's not even better. It's just they put in the time.
Right? So, but no, I mean, it's probably the same thing for like the raids too. Like, everybody's gonna bitch about the raid being, you know, I can't get that special exotic, you know, weapon. But it's like, at the end of the day, though, it's like, it's a raid exclusive. It's, you know, there's gonna be that's just how it is. I mean, it's how it's always been. There's always been certain good weapons that come out of the raid, and you just gotta team up to do it.
Right.
So a lot of people complained about being under-leveled quite a bit on different items, and I don't know, like, it didn't really make sense to me, and I know you were over-grinding to get so you would be ready, but, like, there just seemed to be, like, a lot of complaining, like, I can't even do this strike, like, come on, man. Like, read the recommendation levels before you jump into that stuff. Like, don't just walk into everything being like a cake roll. Like, that's the part of the reason why, you know, the game is fun. You know, it's challenging. It shouldn't be, like, overly easy to do.
Right. Your end game shouldn't be that easy. It should be something to strive for.
So, but yeah, I mean, I don't know all the issues that people were having. I mean, I grinded. I got my first character to 1200, moved my weapons over, played through the story, did a couple public events and stuff like that, got them to 1200 and whatnot. So I didn't really have I mean, I think I struggled a little bit with my Titan, and then I also did, like, the Lost Sectors, like, a little early, because some of them, like, had red skulls on. I could do damage, so I was actually hitting them with marshmallows instead of just hitting them with the air from the marshmallow.
Like, you had, you know, like your marshmallows have little points on them?
Yeah, exactly. So at least I was a little bit better off, but I was kind of surprised to hear some of our friends having issues with, like, the strikes and stuff. And it was just, like, even in the group, in the clan chat, the Discord chat, there was still, like, people, like, going, oh, this is tough. I'm like, dude, it's not that tough. You're probably just not, you're just not respecting the game and taking it serious.
Well, like, I got, jumping back in and doing some of the lower, like, the making up some of the missions that I missed out on, you know, when I was, like, you know, light level 1,000 and everything was, like, recommended light level 750, and I was kind of just mowing through everything.
Yeah.
You know, I think everybody just kind of got used to being, you know, way above the recommended light level for everything, and now they're either at or right at or below the light level, so it's actually a challenge again, and they forgot.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. I mean, it seems to be better. You know, one of the complaints, again, was the lack of weapons and gear. So, a lot of the old weapons got retired, and you can't level them up past a certain area. And so this has kind of caused a little bit of outrage because people don't feel like they have enough weapons to go. I think the problem is a lot of people feel like they took away a lot of weapons and didn't replace them or do enough content back. My only counter argument would be is that we have Season of the Hunt next week and we have the new raid next week. So that should add more weapons to the weapon pool and the armor pool. I think part of it is, too, is I think people just felt really comfortable with some of their pinnacle weapons. And, you know, they got to take some time to find something new as well. I do think that, you know, if I think Shadowkeep weapons, the last year's content, some of that stuff got reset. And I don't agree with that. I think everything over the last three, or at least last year, maybe 2 years, if we're going to keep all the content from Shadowkeep and from, Forsaken, if we have all those and those are still playable, I mean, they should drop reasonable weapons. I mean, we should be able to level them up to a certain point, too. Like, it shouldn't be like last year's sniper rifle is already sunsetted. You know what I mean? Like that right. That part I do agree on. I think everything from last year should not have been sunsetted. It should have really just been basically, I think, Forsaken and maybe beyond that could have been. But everything from Shadowkeep should have stayed relevant. At least upgradable. I'm not saying it needs to drop at the... I don't think Shadowkeep items need to drop at a high rate, but I think they should be upgradable to the appropriate light level if you choose to.
Right, because like I'm doing still doing kind of bounties on the moon, and I've gotten a couple like quest unlock weapons on there, and it's like, oh yeah, it's only gonna you can't upgrade these, by the way.
Yeah, so there's no reason to do it. So I think that part's kind of jacked up.
Right, and again, it goes back to the game's only 2 days old, and they still haven't released all the content. There's still, like, another week of content to come out. Like, fucking relax.
Yeah, I don't even think we have all the content just for the Beyond Light either. Like, I know there's at least another 2 weeks worth of missions from the Stranger that you have to do. There's definitely a lot more. Barrick still has like a bunch of missions that we're going to get from him. So there's a lot of content. And even like the hunts are back in this, and you basically have to replay harder versions of the story content. And I think that's going to have some decent drops as well. So, and I already have two new exotic weapons already as well. So And there's a third one I know of, because it's the only reason I know of it, it's because if you look at the triumphs, it says, you know, get this weapon. So,
right.
So I know there's another weapon there, so I don't know. I mean, I think it's each their own, but like somebody threw out like a number saying like Forsaken released 90 different legendary weapons. And my response to that is, how many of them were even good?
Right. Would you rather have 90 weapons and have 10 of them be good, or have like 15 weapons and all of them be good?
I'd rather have the 15.
Right.
But that could just be me.
There's something wrong with you, bro.
I don't know. Probably. Some of the good things that I think that are pretty good and I think are worth noting that I haven't seen a lot of chatter about. They updated Ghost, so now you get to pick all the perks on the Ghost and made that a pretty complex system. So I thought it was really fun that I was able to boost my XP. And then after I feel like, you know, at some point when I feel like I don't need XP, when I'm grinding Crucible, Strikes, and whatnot, I could go grinding for certain materials that I really want, especially like the high tier material to update like exotic weapons and armor. So I think there's definitely... I thought Ghost was a really good update. I don't know if you got to play around too much with it or unlocked certain things.
Well, like, you know, we kind of ran around a little bit on a Friday, and I was like, because when I leveled up my Ghost, I'm like, I don't know if I'm doing this right, because I'm not reading anything. I'm just going based on what, like, my specific playstyle or what I want.
Yeah.
The Ghost. And so, like, because there's 10 spots, and so there was, like, one... that took six of the slots, but it was like a season exclusive thing, and it goes away at the end of the season.
Yep.
And I was like, but I'm like, I don't need six slots, but it was like to gain experience. So I'm like, I'm just going to do the five slot one. And there was another one. It was like for five slots, it was to detect the resources and treasure chests within 40 meters. And so I did those. So I have like, that's my full 10 slots is like treasure chests, resources, and experience. And you're like, did you copy my test?
Basically.
I was like, okay. So I thought it was like maybe not leveling up, but I know like and I don't think I'll face that problem this year this time around, but last season one of the things I was short on was resources from certain planets, and I think that was because I tried to like cram a year's worth of content into like 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's probably a fair problem. I mean, because some of the material is gone, but yeah, you definitely want some of the material because you could buy upgrades through like Banshee to get better, to get that tool to upgrade your gun. So, I mean, it's definitely worth having some and picking up when you're traveling around the places, generally grabbing planet material just because of that reason.
Right, because I know, like, Nessus was one of the ones that I was, like, short on. Like, I would, like, all right, I got to go do all these bounties and, like, a bunch of stuff to go try to find the things, do public events, private sectors, and everything to try to get as much of the resources from that planet as I could, and they never had enough. So.
Yeah. I also really enjoyed the new armor update. So in the previous model, like only certain weapons, you could only add weapon perks, or I guess not weapon perks, but armor perks to your armor based off what subclass it was. So if you had a solar chest piece, like you could only have like the rocket launcher, or scout rifle on there, and whatnot. And I used a lot of void armor because I was looking at grenade launchers and sniper rifles. But in what they did, though, in this one is they took all that tied. So now every piece of armor could wear, you could add any mod. So if you want to use a sword or a rocket launcher, you could put that on a void piece now. And that makes it a whole lot easier to customize your character to your playstyle, which I thought was good. It looks like they did take away a couple of the armor perks. So... that part kind of sucks, and they kind of reduce some of the, like, you can't just do a bulk stack of reduction damage on against, like, your boss damages, like, all your armor to make you a lot... So it makes it to where you can't, like, stack like that anymore, which is kind of disappointing, because that was one of my things I like to do, is have certain armor buffs on there just to kind of make it easier to survive when you're doing like grandmasters and stuff. So that part kind of sucks, but I do overall like the armor update that they did.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, again, I'm sure people are complaining about that because they don't fully understand the system, but I don't know if anybody fully understands the system yet.
I don't think so, and I don't know if I was telling you or if I was telling Mike. I mean, they spent a lot of time consolidating and upgrading a lot of aspects of Destiny this year versus, I think, and then the other part is I think this raid and I think Europa all have, like, they put in, like, all their eggs in these two baskets, basically. And so maybe today it feels like we didn't get a lot of stuff, but I think as they kind of cleaned up some stuff, I think it's going to make it a lot easier for them to add more stuff later on. Because I feel like, I think we are going to get new, like, PvP maps and new stuff like that throughout this year. I think it was just about, like, this was really about clean, you know, doing some spring cleaning, getting stuff organized. Because I will say, like, the game feels like it loads a lot faster now after this update. It doesn't feel like it takes so long to, like, go from the title screen to character selection. Feels like it doesn't take as long to fly into planets and into the tower. So I feel like they've cleaned up a lot of data, which was, I think, more important currently.
Right. And I'm sure it'll be a lot easier too when it goes to the PlayStation 5, that it'll be even less time.
Yeah, exactly. It should just be like instant, hopefully. Did you have any other problems with the game?
I saw on, like, the subreddit, I'm not the only person having these problems, but it seems like there's a lot of glitches, especially on the Cosmodrome.
Yeah.
More than any other place, like with the public events. And the one that seems to be having the problem is the Warsat public event.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's times where, like, it'll go heroic and, like, the ogre will pop up. But then it'll, like I'm shooting at the ogre and then it's not there and it's, like, on the other side of the Warsat from me.
Yeah.
And so it just seems like there's a lot of glitch issues with the public events. Like, I had a bounty for do 3 weekly public events and then the daily was do 2 public events, and I finished the weekly before I finished the daily. So I don't know, I don't get credit for finishing it for the bounties, but the treasure chest opens and appears and I'm able to open it, which requires participation in the public event.
Yeah, I don't know, it seems like there are a little bit, there's usually a couple glitches that'll get patched up throughout the next month. I think it just depends on what the coding is, because that was, like, the biggest thing in Destiny 1, is that they found a problem in the coding for heavy ammo, but the patch was, to fix the coding was very complicated because of where the problem was.
Right. It's like a load-bearing patch, like a load-bearing code, and if they fixed it, then they'd have to, like, redo a whole bunch of other things on the domino effect.
Yeah, basically, it was so down the rabbit hole that it was almost like everything that they were, all the patches that they were testing would just break the game. Like, nothing was sticking, and, like, they had to, I don't know if he's still there, but they have, like, one guy, and that's all he does is, like, he's, I think they probably overpay to fix broken shit when none of their, like, interns could do it. Like, this is like he's the exterminator.
Yeah, he's like the cleaner that they call in to fix the problem.
Yeah, like you it was funny because it was like when they were when he wrote a part about the heavy ammo, and they're like in like the This Week at Bungie at one point, and like people were like, dude, if this, like, they were like, if this guy's the one guy fixing it, then it was a very serious coding issue.
It's like in Pulp Fiction when Samuel L. Jackson asks for help and he's like, I'm sending the wolf. He's like the wolf of Bungie.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, like any new game or expansion, there's going to be problems, especially like MMOs are a different beast than standard single player games or even multiplayer games.
Yeah, pretty much.
But this seems to be a universal problem on a whole like play area. Like I almost said planet, but there's like different it's not a full Earth affecting thing. It's just the Cosmodrome.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
And I feel better that I'm not the only one that is happening to. I feel personally attacked.
True. All right, everybody, that's it for today's show. Thanks for sticking around and making sure make sure you follow us on Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, Amazon Podcasts. You can follow us on Facebook, Stitcher. I've been popping up on streaming on Twitch at Hoppyhead Pro. If you want to take a watch, you make sure you follow me so that way you can kind of see. I will probably stream the new raid next Saturday, and then probably maybe some time this week as I'm going through different pinnacle chases, so you could watch me struggle to kill people with my new sniper rifle in in PvP and yell and curse.
Yes, it'll be fun.
All right, everybody, we'll see you next time.
Later.